Well, tonight we are continuing in the book of Job, and as you can tell by the caricature on the front of me when I was a baby, the big ears, don't worry, be happy. Abraham Lincoln wisely said, most people are as happy as they make up their minds to be. You think that's true?
Yeah.
Have you discovered you can talk yourself into a great day or you can talk yourself into a total bummer day? It's all a matter of attitude. As we pick up our story in Job, remember that Job has lost all of his children. Imagine just what that one thing, if you had many wonderful children in your life and all of a sudden everyone was gone in a single moment. His animals had been stolen by the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans. And literally he lost everything that he owned materially in this world except for one complaining wife that says, Job, just go ahead, just get it over with, curse the Lord and die. So along comes, if things were not bad enough, here comes someone that says, Job, we know you did something, buddy. Come on, just fess up. If you just tell us what it is, we won't tell anybody, right? But if you just tell us, we'll pray with you and God perhaps will be merciful and relent from this thing that he's done to you. There's one particular place here. It says, I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his dwelling place. His sons are from safety. They're crushed in the gate, and there is no deliverer. From Job chapter 5, verse 1. So what kind of person is this Eliphaz the Temanite? Is he the kind of friend that you'd like to have? Ever had someone come across your path when you're suffering and they just make you feel worse? You know, you're hoping, oh, maybe there's some comfort here. Maybe this person will just give me a big hug and look me in the eyes and say, hey, man, I'm with you. It's going to be okay. You're going to make it. And instead, they look at you and say, well, you know, I was going to talk to you about this before. You remember when you did this? And you remember when you said that? Remember when this happened? And as if it's not bad enough, they start bringing up all the dirty laundry, which has nothing to do with what you're going through. Was Job's problem a result of any past sin?
No.
Do you know that for sure?
No, I don't know that for sure. Maybe he had a little pride there somewhere. We do know that for sure because the Bible tells us.
Yeah, it says that he was a righteous man.
Well, I think you're both right. I think the Bible says that he was blameless, but the word blameless doesn't mean sinless. Okay. But remember, you're also called blameless, but you're not sinless, right? I believe that's true, right? We mess up every day, but you're blameless because of?
Jesus.
That's right, Jesus Christ, because of his blood. And it's a good thing. Job chapter 5, verse 1. Call out now, Eliphaz says. Is there anyone who will answer you? And to which of the holy ones will you turn? For wrath kills a foolish man, and envy slays the simple one. I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his dwelling place, and his sons are far from safety. They are crushed in the gate, and there is no deliverer. Are you getting this? This is a horrible thing to say to a guy who's just lost his sons and daughters. Did you see that? He's insinuating what with Job? He's saying that you lost your kids and it's your fault. Now, even if that was true, would you say that to somebody? I mean, would you have a little more, what's the word?
Sympathy.
Sympathy, compassion.
It's the way I feel every day of my life.
Sympathetic?
No.
Compassionate?
No.
Oh.
Guilty.
I'm just messing with that. Yeah. Guilty. How come?
Yeah. He lose them all in one
yes.
incident, whatever
yes.
it was.
Yes.
Because they were all at
yes.
one of their brother's houses.
I don't think there can be any greater adding insult to injury than to say to somebody, one of your friends that is suffering, to not only fail to show compassion, but to insinuate that somehow their suffering is their fault. And there's one thing that we learn in the scripture that 99% of the time probably that's not true, is it? I mean, the scripture, the Holy Spirit makes a point of showing you neon signs in the Old Testament and the New Testament that says this was not the person's fault. They were just living their life, but this was
to bring glory
to the Lord. That's it. How about yourself tonight? The stuff you're going through.
Do you think that I could be going through something like Job did?
Absolutely. How many of you believe that your circumstances are similar to Job's? Maybe you didn't have as big a loss. But there's people in our church that have lost children. There's people in our church that have lost members of their family, possessions. There's people that have health issues right now that are questionable.
Well, some of mine are a result of my past sinful behavior before I was talking with God.
All right.
I think it wore my body
down. That's possible too. Do not be deceived. The scripture says that whatever a man sows, he shall reap. There's a principle of sowing and reaping, just like whatever goes up must come down because of gravity.
And in addition to that, I didn't have God to trust in because I didn't know how to do that. Okay. So when I faced difficult situations, the stress was greater on my body. And
yeah.
That contributes to chemical sensitivity.
How many of you tonight are like what Leslie's saying? You're suffering, you're reaping things that you sowed long time ago, you know. You sow to the flesh and now you're reaping a whirlwind. But what does the Lord promise He'll do with those things?
Turn it to glory.
Yeah, turn it, make it turn out for good. He'll use it for good.
Or I was afflicted and went astray, but now I go to the Lord.
Cool.
You know, having my mom at the house now, I think about a lot of times when I'll just be sitting there talking with her and I'll just look at her and I'll think about the way I treated her.
She's completely forgiven. She's forgiven, but you haven't.
It's that guilt, you know.
Yeah.
That conviction, it's, you know, and I'll tell my mom, you know, I love you. She goes, I know, I love you too. And it's just, I've never, before I just tell her that when I needed money to keep my door. You know what I mean? That I loved it. But then otherwise, I didn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But now the conviction hit me hard, you know, and then it's, the weeping comes in, and I think about, conference when he talked about the tears, you know, and the waterfall, just the shower, you know, running in the water of the Lord. And I've been thinking about that a lot, you know what I mean? The conviction. I'm glad she's there because I can, I can confess a lot of my wrongdoings.
It's cool.
And get that comfort.
Got a chance to put some healing.
Reconciliation.
That's it. Well, there's a couple important facts here if we're paying attention. I'll mention some of them. You all always find more in these things than I do. These are some observations that I made. That it's a part of our fallen nature. And we have to understand that even though we dwell with a brand new spirit that's been born again, I think all of us feel the effects of our body, our fallen nature, that it still has its way. Amen? And number one on the list there, it's a fact of our fallen nature that we are often suspicious when we see somebody suffering. Our flesh just wants to focus on, I wonder what they did to cause this. We've got to accept the fact that our flesh is going to look at people that way. Not very often, unless we've been bathed in the scripture, that we're going to think, hey, that poor person, doesn't matter whether they did it or not, they're suffering and I'm going to be there to comfort them. But we're going to be suspicious. You know, I wonder what this guy did to cause this. The second thing is that when you're hurting, don't expect people to always be sympathetic to you. Have you noticed that? Man, when you're hurting, you just hope, oh, I hope, you know, this person, that person, hope somebody calls, comes by, and then it doesn't always happen. Even particularly amongst believers, right? When you're in distress, don't expect people who claim to be your friends to always be there for you, right? And that's one of the things we're going to talk about tonight, that we get so hurt when people are not always there for us. Even though we might have been there for them, we did things for them, now we're going through it, they're just not there. And it hurts. It hurts deeply. Do you think Job's feeling some of the effects of that? Is there any indication that he was there for people when they were suffering? What did
Eliphaz? Sounds like a really good guy. It sounded like just an awesome father, a good friend, good husband.
Is there any indication in last week's study that Job's friends saw, had heard from him moments of encouragement, that they that he had been there for them when they were suffering? Remember?
It tells you, or they say, well, they say it kind of like in a smart aleck manner, but they say that he was, you know, he was one who encouraged people and said, you know, buck up, it's not as bad as you think it
yeah.
is, you know, things like that. And
yeah.
now that he's going through it, he's all down in the mountain.
Are you going to accept it when we give it to you? Good, very good.
Which makes me kind of wonder if, did they take his butt in their business the same way as what they're trying to do to him?
What do you think?
I think they did, because apparently they're saying, now it's our turn to do it to you.
Yeah. Or to see how you can at least see how you're going to handle it when it happens to you. Do you think they were surprised when they saw Job going through the same things they went through? Because they knew he was a righteous man, you know? Number four, the only person that you can really count on when you're suffering, hurting is Jesus. He's the only one.
He's the only one that'll fix it.
Yeah. And he's the only one that can really comfort you. Jim Mitchell, we talked to him. I talked to him last night, talked to him yesterday. His brother Bill passed away last night, 4:30. And it was sudden. And they were very close. He said, Rob, Bill was not just my brother. He was my best friend. He lives in Kingman. Jim Mitchell is from our church. You know
yeah,
Jim.
Yeah, but I mean, I thought his brother no. was
no. This is the one in Kingman. He calls him Billy. And when you call somebody and you talk to him, Bobby talked to him yesterday. I did. Maybe some of you have spoken to him. What do you say to someone like that? You know, I love you. I care about you. I'm sorry for your loss. And, of course, his answer was, hey, it's okay. He's with the Lord now. And everybody says that. I said that when it happened to me. But in a couple days go by, you need those phone calls. You know, you guys were there for me that next Sunday when I needed you. And so, but we can't always expect that people will be there and meet those expectations. But the Lord will. The one thing that I prayed for Jim is that the Lord would be there for him. That he would be the God of all comfort to him. And I know that true. That prayer will come true. Amen? But why am I saying all this? Am I saying anything that you didn't already know?
No, we act like we're surprised that they're not there right now.
Yes. And how surprised are we? So much that we get our feelings hurt. Yeah? And it takes us time to get over it. All of us. It takes us time to recover. And sometimes we don't even get over it and we leave our church or we don't see our friends anymore. And that's kind of what was going on with Job. Better to understand ahead of time these facts that people will not always be there for you. They will not meet your expectations. They won't be as sympathetic. You may not get the phone call, the visitation. But the Lord will comfort you and you've got to focus upon that. And you've got to cut people a break. That's the bottom line. You got to give people a break because it's not always because they don't care. What kinds of things happen?
People are busy a lot.
Okay. What else? What kinds of things happen when you hear somebody's struggling?
You think you don't want to be bothersome to them.
Okay. Sometimes you just don't know what to say.
Yeah.
Feel inadequate. What can I say to them? Or you feel so bad about what they're going through. How can I comfort them?
How can I bring it up?
Yeah.
Without being blunt?
Yeah. Might say something dumb. Now, that being said, there are some of us who are very fortunate to have a friend or friends in their life that stick closer than a brother. I have friends like that. They're here in the sanctuary tonight. I won't embarrass them. But when I've gone through terrible things in my life, they've been there for me. And I've tried to be there for them, but I have not been there as much as some of those friends have been there for me. But there are friends, right, that will be there for you. And there are times even when they will fail you, but we're all blessed with somebody, hopefully in our life, that can comfort us. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who has friends must what?
Show himself.
What does that mean?
Be there just by being there for you.
Yeah. We need to try to be there if we can for somebody. I know it's hard sometimes because you don't know what to say, but to try to be there for them. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Hopefully you have a friend like that. And if not, have the Lord.
Do you think Satan could have gotten into his friends' minds?
Oh, absolutely.
To try to, you know, and...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, go ahead, Bobby. Why do you think this example, do you think this example of Joe and the way his friends treat him in the moment of his greatest need, did the Holy Spirit put that there on purpose? If you believe that the scripture is designed by the Lord, who, after all, he has the technology to fashion those 76 trillion stars, he has the technology to put a document in our hand, a book, that perfectly reveals himself, that's perfectly matched to our life and our day, and that speaks to us in our generation. And I believe that it doesn't just contain the words of God, it is the word of God. And there's not one jot, not one tittle, Jesus said, the smallest punctuation mark in the Hebrew alphabet, not one of those things, Jesus said, will pass, fail to pass away, or will pass away till they all come to pass.
How many days did you say they were with him before they ever even spoke a word?
10 days.
What was going on there? I mean, you said they were waiting for him to die, but
yeah.
I mean,
that's a time of mourning.
They were showing during this 10-day period.
Can you imagine? Let's just imagine for a minute that you come to church and to Bible study, and I'm sitting out here in this yard in a pile of ants, and I am absolutely, every square inch of my body is covered with open sores. I look like a piece of raw hamburger, and I've got a piece of that fence out there scraping myself. Would you just run up to me and go, "Oh, what happened to you?" Maybe it would be so shocking that you would just say, you wouldn't know what to say. Mm-hmm. You might think, he's going to die any minute. I'll just sit here and try to just be here, you know? Go ahead, Leslie.
Well, that's probably why they, what they were doing. The way, you know, Bobby was talking.
Yeah.
You don't know what to say. The best thing is to be here.
I know sometimes when I first start looking at a situation after a period of time, my thoughts kind of change a little bit, you know, depending on what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing. Maybe that was the same thing with them.
Sorry. They could have been in shock to see what was going on.
But you got to believe that they had some not right motivations, right?
Right.
I mean, are you seeing that in the scripture? And do you think the Holy Spirit wants us to see that so that we'll know your friends are going to let you down? They're not going to say the right thing. They're not going to do the right thing. They're not going to call you. They're not going to come and see you. And you got to be okay with that. Because that's not where your focus is at. Your focus is on your Lord. And that's where your eyes are at. And that's where you get your comfort from. And give everybody a break. Let it go. It's a hard thing, isn't it? Very difficult thing. Some of us are so sensitive that when people are not around when we need them, boy, it just tears us in half. I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? That's right.
I mean, just loving your friends just the way they are.
Or you mean
not expecting anything in return.
Okay.
Just love them.
Because they will. They have. They're going to. I'm going to do it. Everybody in this room is going to do it. And we've got to be okay with that. We've got to be willing to say, you know what? I don't know what the reasons why, but I'm not going to focus on that. And, you know, a lot of times if we could have a heart-to-heart with them later on, they would say to us, you know, I'm really sorry that I wasn't there, and here's the reason why. And you'll hear that reason, you'll think, well, I didn't know that. You know, I was imagining all these other things. Job is sitting there, and he's suffering, and his friends, they're not only not comforting him, they're making an accusation that it's his fault. How bad would that be? You know, if the friends that you're expecting a call, a comfort call, they call you up, Bobby, and say, hey, you know, dude, I love you, but this is your fault. You might, you know, you're going to get past hurt to what? Anger. Wham, I don't need this. You know, at least you could do is just be there. So why does the Holy Spirit think that this is worthy of our attention? And why is this true? Let me throw this question out. Why is it true that believers who've been changed by the power of God, who have agape love, why are we not more compassionate? I don't know.
I think a lot of times we base what's going on also with what somebody else's life is based on what we believe ourselves to be like sometimes. So if we think something bad is happening to us because of something we've done, something I've sinned, we also just automatically believe that that's got to be the same reason.
Okay.
Why another person's having the same problem.
I can think of one word that I think is the one of the biggest reasons that keeps us from reaching out to each other. It's a word that I talked about when we did the very first song. You remember what it was? Fear. Have you ever been just afraid to call somebody because you just, you know, like Bobby said, what do I say? What if I say the wrong thing? Does fear keep us from doing a lot of things? And, you know, when people don't call you, think of that first of all. Think, you know, maybe they're just afraid. Maybe they just don't know what to say. But I know they love me. In the past, they've been my friends. But the enemy doesn't want you to think that. He wants you to believe, hey, you know, they're not really a friend. And some of us will say, you know, when I go through something and that person, this person wasn't there, see, now I know who my real friends are. Is that true? No, it's not true. We believe it. That's right. That's right. Wants to break? Does he want to drive wedges in our lives between us? How many of you think that Eliphaz was not really a friend of Job? He's there, isn't he?
Yeah.
I don't think he just came to see him die.
I mean, he traveled for a long distance, right?
That's right.
In order to get there.
That's right. Are all of our motivations always perfect? Ourselves? No. But we care about each other, and we got to cut each other some slack. So, does that make somebody less of a believer in Jesus Christ because they don't always act like Jesus in their compassion? I think this is really important, gang, because this is an area that I'm glad is here in Job, because I think it will be an area that the enemy will drive a wedge in our fellowship and our relationship with each other.
I don't know, maybe it's a situation like that, you could just being as a believer, and if you go through this and then it comes back on you down the line, you could think back, well, you know, wow, you know, it's just like a testimony could help somebody out, and then this thought of, well, I would be there for this person, this might not have happened to me. Now my comfort that I need, I'm not getting because I wasn't there for them.
That's it.
You know, it could be a learning experience, plus it's a hurting experience. As a believer, it's like the agape love. You know, you got to be there for your brothers and sisters, and, you know, at all times. And that one point when you put that guard down, when you let it go, it hurts you.
Yeah.
It hurts them more, but it's hurt you, and it's still going to hurt you inside once you realize what you've done.
Yeah.
Have you also, have you ever noticed how you'll handle a situation that's the same way, but different people in a different way?
Yeah.
Just because of, you know, how they are, how they act. Everybody does that. I mean, you can't handle the same, just because it's the same situation, you can't handle it the same way.
That's right.
If it's a different person.
But you know, just like what Corey was saying at the conference, the only person we're hurting is ourselves. We think that, you know, we're hurting someone else, or you know, they've hurt us, and now we've got to get back. The only one we're hurting is ourselves, because we're separating ourselves from not only that, you know, at that time, I mean, you know, one of the most awesome things for me is to have someone, even though they're afraid of saying something, they don't know what to say, they come up and give you a hug and tell you, you know what, I love you and I'm praying for you. And if they turn around and walk off and never say or do anything else other than that, that shows exactly what Christ has called us to do.
And that's the best thing you can do, really. You know, it's really is.
I also wonder, you know, when I've read this before, I kind of always wondered about the motivation of friends, and I hope this just isn't me, but I think sometimes we may have jealousy when we see that God's really blessed somebody, and we say, well, finally, now you know how it was like for
yeah.
me. Now you can, you know, you can deal with it. Let's see how you do. You know, it's kind of a...
You think that's what Eliphaz was doing? Even though he probably really loved Job, you think maybe he was thinking that? We all have that too, right? Come on, shake your heads. Tell me you have some of that. Yeah, okay. Man, sometimes I think. Just me. What do you do when other believers hurt you and let you down? What do you do personally?
Wine.
Wine? Who said that? Talk to the Lord about it? You place the blame?
Myself.
Really? You blame yourself?
Yeah, I think, you know, I was going through that a little bit this week, and I just figured, well, I'm not that much of a likable person in terms of...
Let's take a vote. How many think that Leslie's a wonderful, loving person? How many? We love you.
Just be...
So sometimes
I don't know what kind of day you had other than, you know, when I got to church tonight. So I don't really know why you acted the way you acted. And I take that under consideration, and I think, you know, a lot of people ought to take that under consideration.
It's called empathy, getting inside someone's skin. Yeah, that's a good point. But you brought up a good point, David. That is that sometimes even when this hurts, it makes us look at ourselves maybe in a way we didn't before. Go ahead, Bertel.
Yeah. Usually I just cry out to Jesus because
yeah.
He's always been the strength. But sometimes... As humans, we know, and God will bring it to Scripture, and He'll even talk to us through Scripture, or maybe even an audible voice, but still you want to hear that. You want to hear somebody. And for me, I used to call Willie back home, my home church in Wyoming, and Willie will say, usually two things. Are you going to lose your soul over this? And who's in charge of your life?
Jesus. Yeah.
And I guess for me, I like because Willie just, God uses it just to point the sword and poke me with the sword and say, stand up, straighten up. You know, Jesus is in control.
Yeah.
You know, think, you know, He's teaching you something.
Yeah, good. How many of you think that Job, we don't really know much about Job's life after this, but how many of you think he was a much more righteous man after all this experience with his friends failing him and everything else? In John chapter 2, it says, Now when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in His name when they saw what? They believed in Him because they saw the signs. If you saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, would you be a believer? I'm on that train, right? But Jesus did not commit Himself to them because He knew all men. And He had no need that anyone should testify of man because He knew what was in man. The people that believed in Jesus because they followed Him around and saw the miracles were believing in Him because of the impulse of their emotions and the warm fuzzies and the goosebumps. And so Jesus knows that any faith that we put in Him or any faith that grows as a result of emotions, that He doesn't trust that. You know why? What changes more than the weather in Winslow? Your emotions. How many of you have started off in the morning just having a wonderful day and one person can ruin that whole day for you? Shame on us if we let somebody have that power over us, right? How can somebody have that much power? But it happens. There it is. We allow it to happen. We let it happen. We are a fickle and changeable race of people in our fallen condition. Amen? Anybody here say, I am a fickle person. I can be up one minute, down the next. I can love you today and tonight. I just don't want to see the side of your face. Right? We're all like that. Right? You too? True faith in Jesus Christ cannot be based on the emotion of the moment. That's why I really, you know, I used to dream of the day when maybe someday the Lord would let me be a pastor and I could stand at the pulpit like Greg Laurie and say, if you want Jesus as your Lord and Savior, stand up right now. Be bold for the Lord. Come forward.
Quit your sniveling.
Quit, yeah, you know, that whole thing. And the whole church would come forward, you know. And then after I became a pastor, the Lord told me not to do that. And he began to show me that people, this is not necessarily bad, but people that come forward in the emotion of that moment, when somebody's very good at, like Billy Graham or Greg Laurie, are very good at getting your feelings, your emotions stirred up, that's wonderful, and it's according to the Word of God, and it's a very spiritual thing. But sometimes those people, when they go home, the enemy comes along, and because of the emotion is all gone now that they're home, all the adrenaline has gone away, they start thinking, man, I don't feel that way anymore. I don't feel that way, so maybe it didn't really happen, right? So for me, this is just my own personal feeling, is that I would much rather just give people the Word of God every Sunday, every Wednesday, than give them the gospel, give them an invitation, let them sit there in their own chair week after week and watch people receive Jesus Christ. And I've seen it happen hundreds and hundreds of times. And it lasts much longer than the emotional part of that, right? It's more of a discipleship kind of thing. So a lot of times the emotions that you feel in the heat of that moment, you can't trust those. You can't rely upon them. We got to get back to what does God's Word say? Who am I in Jesus Christ? Who am I to God the Father, right? Maybe my friends are not here. Maybe they don't believe in me. Maybe they blame me. But Lord, how do you feel about me? What does the Scripture say about that? And to get back into the Word, know where those verses are. Have them on your refrigerator so the next time you go through doubt, that's what the Lord says. That's what the Lord says. That's what I believe. That's what I believe, not what I think, not what I feel. Amen? The emotions, you cannot trust them.
Well, that's one thing I've been doing all this memorizing Scripture, and I just come to love doing it.
It's very powerful.
It's powerful.
Very powerful. You can't always depend on the sensitivity of people when it comes to your needs for comfort, right? They are not nearly as sensitive to what's happening to you as you are. You notice that? Your world's falling apart and you wonder why it's not on Fox News. How come everybody's not feeling like I'm feeling right now, right? They're just not there, and sometimes you feel like you're the only one. And then sometimes they're there for a while and then they're gone and you need them again and they're not there. How about Job? All this roller coaster of emotion that he's going through as he's hearing this from Eliphaz here in chapter 5. So when people are not there for you, the lesson here with Job is don't be surprised and don't hold it against them, right? Continue to love them. Find your comfort in the Lord and in His Word. In Psalm 38, for in you, O Lord, I hope. In you, Lord, I'm going to hope. That's where I'm going to put my trust. In you, Lord, I must put my trust and never be put to shame. So the question is, how can we walk in fellowship with each other and still give enough room for people to fail us, but still love them? Can we do that? Is it possible?
We decide ahead of time that's how we're going to react instead of reacting on an emotional level.
Okay, take out a sheet of paper and write, the next time Rob fails me. But you know what? That's true, but what happens when we do that? And then it happens. It doesn't work. Does it? Yeah. But does that mean we shouldn't determine ahead of time to do it? What do you think? So how do we walk in fellowship? Let me give you an illustration of a disappointment but an opportunity to still love, okay? Here's an example of a disappointment, but you'll have an opportunity to love. A farmer saw a UFO land on his farm. When he investigated, he found an extraterrestrial sitting in his turkey yard. The creature had just eaten all of his turkeys. The overstuffed alien was sighing heavily and flossing his teeth. This is proof that UFOs are really sighing flossers. Bad. See? Now, that's... You see? Sighing flossers? That's right. See, you were expecting a good laugh and I disappointed you again and all you got was a dumb joke, but do you still love me? See? It's doubtful.
They didn't have any rotten fruit to
throw at me. They were sick. He'd just eaten all of his turkeys and he was sighing, flossing. So this is proof that UFOs are sighing flossers. Never mind. The kids would bring the kids in here. They would understand. Robbie gets it. Right? The young at heart, they get it.
Oh, you got it. I'll explain to you later.
No food in sanctuary. That's all.
Yeah, little on my hand, you call her for that.
Bobby always just says to me, "You're on your own."
You ate all but one turkey.
Job chapter 5, verse 5. Because the hungry eat up his harvest, taking it even from the thorns, and a snare snatches their substance, for affliction does not come from the dust, nor does trouble spring from the ground, yet man is born in trouble, and the sparks fly upward. Now, I had to look this up. I had no idea what was going on here. And I'm sure you're in the same place that I am. But the term taking it from the thorns, during this time, farmers would put, everybody know what a prickly pear cactus is? Okay, they would put those as a hedge around their crops so that when people would try to sneak in at night to steal their crops, they would get that little surprise. So in other words, Job, he's saying here, Job, since you won't fess up to what your sins really are, that's why thieves have broken in past your barriers and stolen your possessions. It's kind of a poetic way of saying, what? It's your fault. Do people say things to you kind of in a roundabout way, but you really get the message? They think it's your fault, or they blame you. Then Eliphaz makes another poetic description, verse 6. For affliction does not come from the dust, nor does trouble spring from the ground. Seems like it, though. Yet man is born to trouble, and the sparks fly upward. Have you ever been out, I know some of you have, at a campfire late at night, and you see those sparks that sometimes they just go up forever? He's laying a parallel here. What's he saying? He's saying trouble is a natural thing for us. How many of you just go from one trouble to the next? Yeah? How many of you just say, Lord, when is there any break in here? Because you know, you said in this world you will have tribulation, but you didn't say it's one after another after another.
There's little blessings, and then you get another big old trouble.
He said, your trouble is just like those sparks. It's so natural that they fly up in the sky. That's how natural it is for us to be in trouble. Not very encouraging. Verse 8, but as for me, I would seek God. Eliphaz says, well, all that being said, Job, if it was up to me, I would just seek God. And I would commit my cause, who does great things and unsearchable, marvelous things. What kind of a trip is he laying on Job now? What's Eliphaz,
He's still saying it's your fault.
He's still saying his fault, but now he's turning it around, right, to himself?
He's saying, if you would just go to God.
Oh, so I see what you're saying. He's insinuating that Job still hasn't talked to the Lord about this. Have you ever had somebody do that to you? Come to you and your heart's on the ground, it's broken, and they ask you, well, have you prayed?
Not yet.
I'm going to pray that you live. Because I'm going to choke you.
Because he's always prayed. Every morning he would pray for the family, but he never prayed for himself. Does it? Does
Well, we don't know that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's what Sue said, you know, he said he hasn't went to God yet with it. But every morning you get up and you pray for the sins that the kids are going to commit.
Okay.
I mean,
all right.
But does it ever say where he prays for himself?
Okay.
Does that give you kind of an insight to the, what Joe's personality was back then? I mean, he just automatically believed that he needed to pray for his kids, even if they, even if he didn't see whether they sinned or not.
Does somebody who,
he treated other people that same way.
Does somebody who prays for other people in intercessor prayer?
Not necessarily a bad thing, but
what's more natural? What's the most natural thing that, that we really don't have a problem with? Is it praying for other people or praying for ourselves? The new Christian, the baby Christian, always prays for themselves. And you can tell when people are growing in their relationship with Jesus Christ because they'll start saying, I have this burden now to pray for other people. So Job is a little more mature, but maybe that doesn't believe he's not praying for himself. But what's wrong? What else is wrong with what Eliphaz says here in verse 8? It is good advice.
I think he's finally realizing, hey, maybe Job will die.
But how's he saying it, though? Do you think he's saying this facetiously?
Yeah.
But if it was me, man, you know, it's just me. But this is what I would do.
He's not only saying that. I think he's implying that if Job would just go to God about it, God would stop it.
So you think... So you guys, you think maybe it's a good thing he's trying to encourage him.
No.
Have you thought about this, Job?
Yeah, but there's some pride in it.
Oh, I think he's kind of letting him know, you know, if you had enough faith, you'd have God, and this would have been taken care of.
Oh.
He's pulling the whole ear and now crying on him.
Through all these sores and all this hardship, and he just tells me, just go to God. If you want, you know, he's...
That's what it sounds like to me, Aaron.
Really?
That he's pulling the
holier than
thou card on.
Now, we never do that, right?
Never. I think he's leaning on his own understanding.
Good.
I think it's just an example of what then it was an example for now.
Yeah.
To give an example that though you may stand later before God and you may pay your tithe and you may do everything right and all of a sudden, bam, everything goes crazy.
Yeah.
Just totally nuts.
Yeah.
And everyone's saying, what'd you do? You know? Well,
yeah.
Come on, Drake.
We thought you were a righteous guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So even if... That's a good point.
If we didn't have Job for example, I know... I think I would have gave up probably 2 years after I got saved, you know?
You didn't know.
I didn't know, but you read Job, it kind of gives you hope that this is exactly what I'm going through.
If I live for Jesus Christ, full tilt boogie, there's going to be a price to pay. There's a target painted on my back if I live for the Lord, right? Full tilt boogie. Don't you ever...
Showing your age. He is.
Don't you ever watch any Tommy Lee Jones movies?
Yeah, we have.
Right? The Fugitive, right? People can give us some really good advice, but the problem is if it doesn't come from the Word of God, it's just air. When we give people advice, it should be advice from the Word, right? Like this one in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. How many of you have used this one? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't worry, be happy. Instead of worrying about it, instead of stressing out over it, when people aren't there for you, when you go through trials, when you're living for God, you're doing everything right, and everything's falling apart, instead of worrying about it, stressing over it, getting mad, take it to the Lord and say, Lord, here's what you said. I'm not going to be anxious about this. I'm going to take all this and give it to you in prayer, in supplication, and I'm going to be thankful for the outcome of this trial. And I'm still thankful for these miserable friends of mine. Right? Bless them, Lord.
But you know, speaking from personal experience, sometimes that's harder than, you know.
What's that?
You know, trying to take it to the Lord and saying, you know, well, I'll just forgive them for not showing up or whatever else, you know. And
But why is it hard? I mean, we said at the beginning we can talk ourselves into just about anything. Why can't we talk ourselves into forgiving people and letting stuff go and taking it to the Lord?
We want to see him get. We want revenge. Our flesh wants.
Right. Really?
Our flesh wants them pulverized.
I never.
I said, God, I'm not like you.
Yeah.
I've been deleting people.
Like, I love that person, but get them.
But yeah. Do something, Lord. You're my dad.
Yeah. If you just like
spank him.
What do they do?
Daddy.
But then when we do the same thing.
That's right.
Instead
of worrying, make a conscious decision to be happy anyway. Can you do that?
Yes.
I did it today. There's a lot of things came flooded my mind all last night. Melinda says, you were really snoring last night and your eyes were going like this. And I had a bad dream and I woke up. She said, what was the dream? I said, I don't know, but it was bad. And then all morning I had this cloud hanging over me. I was like Pigpen in Charlie Brown. You know, every place it goes, dust stirs up. And then all of a sudden, I started meditating on the Word, and I got into this study at about 10 o'clock, and all of a sudden I went, I choose not to be sad and worrying and angry and all the... I choose not to be that. I choose to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to Bible study tonight. I'm going to hang out with my friends. I'm going to do music. I'm going to be with people I love. And you know what? I talked myself into a great day. We can do... It's possible. Yeah, it's possible. That's amazing. I don't know what I look like when I sleep. You don't even know what sleep is. Amen. Amen. That's right. Therefore, Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow because you got enough stuff to take care of today. Have you ever thought about all the stuff you have to do? And it starts to overwhelm you, and you say, I'm just going to take care of today. Just going to get through today. Because tomorrow, I'll have strength, the Lord says, to take care of tomorrow's. But if you think about all the things that aren't getting done, and you let that add up, you know that can even cause depression. There's a couple things that cause depression. Unresolved guilt, not properly taken to the Lord and been cleansed. And the second thing is an overwhelming sense of too many things to get done and not enough time and not getting it done. It can make you just sit there in a little corner and curl up in a little ball and not do anything. Ever been there? Verse 10, he gives rain on the earth and sends waters on the field. He sets on high those who are lowly and those who mourn are lifted safely. He frustrates the devices of the crafty so that their hands cannot carry out their plans. He catches the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the cunning comes quickly upon them. Whew. This is a long triad that tirade that he's going through here. What's he saying to Job? God's going to take care of you. What's the example that he uses? Everything. Did Jesus do the same thing in Matthew 6 when he said, don't worry, look at the birds? Next time you're worried, a cool thing has started to happen at our house that never has happened before. Doves are coming right up by the window in the kitchen and just sitting there and looking at us. I don't know what's up with that. I don't know if they want to eat us or they want what we have to eat or they want us to take us something out or they want to nest there. But it's really cool. But you know what I think about when I see them there? I think about weird stuff like this. Wow.
Birds?
Huh?
You watch the birds.
Yeah, you know, how many of you pay attention to birds?
Don't.
Why? But sometimes we get so busy we don't notice simple things like that. I think the Lord brought those, put them there just for me to say, Rob, you see these birds? I take care of them. Where do they live, Rob? I don't know, Lord. Well, how do they get fed? I don't know, Lord. And he said, I'm going to take care of you. Aren't you more important to me than these birds? Jesus used that example in Matthew 6. Look at the lilies of the field. Go up on the mountain in the summer and see the beautiful flowers that are up there. Have you ever seen anything so lovely? And the Lord says, and you're much more valuable to me. I'll clothe you. I'll take care of you. Sometimes we got to focus on the majesty of our Lord and the things that he takes care of every day to remember that he knows what you're going through. Right? And the rest of Job chapter 5, he just kind of goes on and on and on, makes the same point over and over again. The bottom line is, yes, sometimes the Lord does chasten us. Check out verse 17 and 18. Eliphaz says, "Behold, happy is the man or the woman whom God corrects." I think that's not true. I'm not always happy when the Lord's correcting me. Right? But sometimes afterwards, are you happy? "And do not despise the chastening of the Almighty, for he bruises..." How many of you have been bruised? But didn't after that, don't you get bound up? That's not a good... Not bound up. He binds up. He heals. "He wounds, but his hands make whole. He shall deliver you in six troubles." You're going, I have to go through six troubles? "But in seven, no evil shall touch you." Can you think of some New Testament verses that go along with that? Book of Hebrews?
What does it mean exactly what it says?
Yeah.
Well, it says that Hebrews is in Hebrews. That's not his nature to bruise and wound.
Oh, very good. How does the Lord, how does he bruise or chasten us?
He allows
things to happen, but he doesn't do it himself.
Well, what about the breaking of the legs of the deer? What? You know what I'm talking about? Is that in the New Testament?
You mean the breaking of the lamb's legs and the shepherd carrying it?
Yeah.
Anybody here ever had the Lord break your legs?
Wander and get their legs broken so they don't wander.
Yeah, I think I kind of have
that. Is that what happened?
Well, the first time I crushed my ankle, that was my foolishness. But last winter I just had a foot fall asleep. Tried to get up and walk on it, broke it on the other side.
Yeah, some of that stuff's just the result of old faulty bodies, right? I mean, that's...
No, I think God was trying to get me out of the bed.
You think God broke your foot? No.
God was making me sick. He wanted me to sit still and get into the work.
I think that fits under the category of he will use all things together for good. I think
yeah,
there's a lot of things
yeah.
a lot of things fall apart, and because of sin, things get messed up, but God takes and uses those things.
Like just tonight, Rob, with this fire down here, you know, I'm going home, and I'm just thinking, man, this is a fallen world. You know, kids playing with matches and
burning stuff up.
Yeah, you know, and I'm getting a little mad. Oh, I gotta go over this way.
Yeah. Well, here's the bottom line. Our opinion of what is happening to people is most often wrong. Our opinion of why people are not there for us when we're struggling is most often wrong. We can't see into the spirit realm. We don't know what God's doing in the life of a person. I think Bobby said it beautifully tonight. Sometimes all you need to do is just go over and put your hands on their shoulders, hug them and say, "Hey, I care about you and I'm praying for you." That's all we have to do. That's enough. Anything that spoke to you tonight in particular about Job or Eliphaz or the things that they're going through? I think you expressed it pretty good already, but doesn't really know him.
Yeah.
He knows about him. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you really understand.
Okay.
He's just got like a glimmer.
If you want to look ahead, read what the Lord says to Eliphaz in chapter 38. He gets upset with Eliphaz. He said, "You know, you said a lot of things about me that are not true. How would you like the Lord of heaven to call you and say, step into my office, Rob? Stuff that you said about me is not true." I mean, it's bad enough when people say things about us that are not true. Imagine the Lord saying, "You're saying stuff that isn't true." But you know what? His mistake was he was saying things according to his own understanding and not what the Word of God says. That's why it's real important when we share with people what we think's going on, it better be based upon what the Word says. Because Jesus will ask us someday, "Rob, why did you say that to David or to Freddie?" You know? That's not in the Word. A lot of times we give people an idea that God's mad at him, that he's vengeful, that he wants to destroy. And the Bible doesn't say that. I'm having this discussion with this guy on the Visa Journey website now. He had this question about whether or not we should educate our children about religious things. And I said, you know, in Israel, when a baby's born, the father picks it up and says in its ear, there's only one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And I said, you're obligated to tell your children about the love of God from the day they're born. And he got all upset, you know. And I said, you know, the reason you feel that way is you don't know Jesus Christ. You don't know the Word of God. These things are foreign to you. You haven't been born again, so you don't understand spiritual things. And he said, oh, I know about the church, and I know about this and this and that. And I said, but you don't know Jesus Christ. That's right. That's right. You know, according to the Word of God. All right, cool. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for dear friends that are here. And we're just learning so many incredible things about Job's life. And we can see a little bit of us in Job and a little bit of us in Eliphaz. And it's very refreshing, Lord, to know that whenever these things come into our life, a friend that fails to comfort or a loss of things, that, Lord, that you are not out of control. That you're still on the throne and that things that happen to us, Lord, you got a purpose for them. How encouraging that is. And that the end of those things will be for good. Thanks for reminding us tonight, Lord, to watch what we say and to withhold judgment of what we think is happening to people and what their motivations are, because we really don't know. And to look to you, Jesus, for our comfort, for our encouragement, to look to your word as the source of wisdom and sustaining power in our time of trial, to remember that Christians will let us down and fail us, but we have to. We are commanded to love them in spite of that, and that someday we may know the reason why they weren't there for us, but not to allow the enemy to play with our minds, Lord. So, Father, tonight, give us rest as we go home, and help us to enter that dream state, Lord, where we dream of you and your goodness, and you would refresh us by your mighty Spirit tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.